Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
We pray for the message coming up with Keith. We just pray that we'll heal all of Keith, all of you, and a little of Keith. We just pray that it'll fall on our ears, and those shackles we have up and those walls that we build inside us are broken down by your word and your message. And we pray that it'll fall on open ears, Lord. Amen.
Okay, we're going to have our reading.
We're reading today from 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and, I am persuaded, now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering from the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us.
My name's Keith, if you're a visitor, as I serve here at the church. And it's just really lovely to see you, to see friends and folk. So thank you for coming. There's a few folk not well at all. We're really praying at this time. We're praying for Anne and Ian in the congregation today. Bless you. Derek Simpson's in good shape. He went to the gym this week in Elsdon Village. It was no keeping a good one down. That's good. I've seen Bert and Betty for a couple of weeks, so we need to just keep checking. Frank's in hospital for ages yet. So we're not sure about, you know, they took away part of his foot. It's a real life changer. But Frank, it's not a spirit changer, because Frank is just Frank. He was in great spirits on Friday, and those of you who know and love Frank already will just know that he'll He'll charge through, but he needs our support. Mercy is at the back, and she's fearless, but she doesn't look after herself. So we need to love Mercy and make sure that the family are good. Pray for James and Anna. And Manoah is out of hospital. She came out yesterday. She was in hospital. Some of you are so quick that you might not know she went in. So she went in and out. Something, some growth, which is not sinister in the head, which they're hoping to get rid of with steroids and other tablets. But if they can't, she'll have to have an operation, which will be okay. But let's pray that she doesn't have to do that. So there's all sorts of things going on and like that. But God is in charge, and there's things going on in your life. And I think in such a busy world, just a distracting world, that I need to know what matters. I need to know what really matters in a world where the clock is ticking, where this is it. This could be my last day. There's no guarantee I'll be here next week preaching or speaking, declaring the good news of Jesus. There's no guarantee. None of us have that, whatever our health. And so, Lord, I want to make this count for you. Do come along tomorrow evening. It's great to sort of pray and support Mitch and Vicky and the family. But also, we want to speak about the facility. Again, I will say it probably for quite a few weeks. Thank you for your patience with regards our sound. Our technicians are working tirelessly on it with solutions. There'll be all sorts of things appearing, perhaps gantries and speakers in different places and cushions and... Just turn up and praise the Lord and have a grateful spirit, and we will get there. So, you know, we want to make the experience a good one, but also a blessed one. The important thing is that actually we're not entertained, but is that we're deepened in our relationship with Jesus, and we leave here wanting to be more like him. That's my desire. And if the sound helps that, great. And so that's the key thing. And the prayer room was a huge, huge success. Prayer should be, but it was. Thank you for Liz and Ian for their organization, and Lou as well, and other people that we could point at. It's awful when you start listing people. Sorry about that. The great overwhelming consensus is that we would like to keep the prayer room, which is in the lounge next door. What we're doing is that Liz and the team are working on a plan with Ian as far as what that might look like for us, for access and safe access with our children's groups on and things like this. So please bear with us, but it is open still. Do talk to Liz or Ian. Is that okay to about that? So Liz is the one leading wonderfully today. So that's, can I pray? And we're starting a new series. I'm always excited. It's good to see friends from Sheffield, Sarah and Tim, and your little one as well. That was amazing. I saw a proud grandma walking around somewhere. That was great. Okay, so let me pray. And then let's ask the Spirit of God to speak to us. Father, thank you so much that we can come in total freedom. And Lord, the only opposition to us coming today was probably the snow. And we pray that when we might be able to get home today, it should be fine. But Lord, I just pray that I thank you so much that we can be here and worship you. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters where this is illegal. Lord, for those who were imprisoned simply for loving Jesus. Lord, I pray that we will take you so seriously. We will be so dynamic in our faith. It will burst out, Lord, that we will make a difference where you place us. In our schools, in the staff rooms, in our streets and neighborhoods, in our professional business, as we go about our day-to-day work and life, I pray that it will be visible, the fact that we have an allegiance to a new king. We follow King Jesus. We thank you you've made it possible because of the cross to come and know you, Heavenly Father, through Christ the Son. So, Holy Spirit, would you quicken, would you make alive dead souls today? Would you just spring it into life. If there's those who amongst us who once loved you and knew you with a passion and a zeal that was unmistakable, but it's been trodden down, I pray we'll rediscover what it means to be true, zealous followers of King Jesus. Help us, Lord. I pray you'll take anything away from out of the speaker's heart and mind that's not from you. That all that is left in our hearts and minds is what you, Holy Spirit, would like us to know, and to not only know, but to practice and then to share with others. We thank you for this new year. It's a year that's never been lived before in history. It's a new opportunity to serve you afresh. Whatever's taken place in the past, Lord, we can, with a fresh foot forward, can serve you with a new passion. We pray for those we've mentioned, for your healing, for your perspective, above all for your peace within the suffering, for their broader families, those who care. Holy Spirit, many need a real sense of your presence at this time. I particularly pray for Anne and Ian with us at this stage, Lord. I just thank you so much for them. I pray you'd bind them together, Lord, and just draw them closer to each other and to you. And Lord, for others who are struggling, might you be in the center, Lord, that they might just see what you see, that those who are for us are greater than those who are against. Would you help us, Lord? We sometimes cannot see. Would you help us to do that? And then to worship you in the desert place or when the sun's shining down on me, help us to do that with sincerity, in spirit, and in truth, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember when I was being interviewed at this church, it was February 2009, believe it or not. And the first time I spoke in front of this congregation, when you're speaking in front of a congregation and they're looking at you as their potential pastor, whatever that is, that you preach with a view. And I remember coming here, but it was the one before that. They just wanted a little look at me. And there was two of the guys involved as well, two of the pastors that I had a look at. And they did tell me I was the least experienced, which encouraged me before that. Anyway, I got up, and it was in the Railway Club in February 2009. And those of you with a brilliant memory, because it was such a service, really. No, you'll not remember it. I actually spoke on, like, famous last words. I'm not even going to expect people to remember that. But I actually spoke on Matthew 28 about Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples, close followers of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. And I just kind of wanted people to think about I wonder what our famous last words would be. And we know the Matthew 28 section is some of Jesus' last recorded words, at least, that we can know. And we're stepping into a year, thus a new series, using a letter which is the last really recorded words from Paul to someone he could call his dear son. Not his real son, but almost adopted son in the Lord, Timothy. And it really got me thinking what matters. I wonder if that was you and I. Many of you will know about 17, 18 months ago, I was diagnosed with a form of blood cancer. It's kind of like a blood condition. Now, I haven't got my violin out. God is good. I'm feeling great. But you know what it does when you go through that sort of thing? It really sharpens what matters in your heart. Now, I pray that none of you have to go through that to work out what matters in your heart. I hope I've always been passionate for Jesus from the day I came to Christ when I was 16 years old. But you know, there's something about when the Lord suddenly says, these days are important. And I think as we go forward in our new series, I've entitled it Receive, Practice and Share. Now, some of you get out of shape because there's a C instead of an S in practice. Well, actually, let me explain. I want us to become a practice, an organization that practices what we receive. But you might individually practice with an S if you want. There you go. That might satisfy some of you rigorists. And that's fine, by the way. Shows you're reading it. But really, what the Lord's been speaking to me about, way before, just towards the end of the Ezra series, we've been chatting about it for ages, he's been speaking to Chris for years on this, is really what matters. If there was a baton on the stage here and it had gospel, the good news of Jesus on it, and this baton was a heavenly baton, and the Lord Jesus decided to put his feet on our platform, and say, right, this is the group of people who I've entrusted for the gospel, to take this forward for the next generation. This, the whole survival. I wonder what it would look like if the whole survival of the gospel, and thank God it doesn't necessarily. I wonder what it would look like if it was our responsibility for the continuation of the gospel, the good news of the life, death, resurrection and return of Jesus Christ. I wonder if the growth of the church and the succession of the church was my responsibility. And by I say our, I mean like me, you, each one of us. I wonder what the future would look like in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Would there be increasing empty seats? And by the way, don't mistake me. I'm not asking what was the future of Bethel Church. I'm talking about the future of the good news of Jesus into the next generation. And that might be the next generation that you're holding in your arms or whatever it might be. Or that are being taught out the back right now. What is the future? Because we're the now generation. Whether we're the youngest or the oldest, we have this gospel responsibility. So I thought I really wanted to share, and I was really praying. When I was thinking of a series about receive, practice, and share, if you're a visitor, let me explain. You know, we love receiving most of the time, although some of us may restrict that to Sundays, which is really dangerous. But then we ask the question, how am I practicing what the Spirit shows me as I receive? How am I practicing in all sorts of ways what the Spirit shows me when I receive? And then how am I then sharing that with others? How am I encouraging others to also practice so that baton, that gospel baton continues? I don't want the gospel to die with me. I don't want to be a terminus of the gospel. I want to be a terminal. I've said that before. A terminal is like an airport where people go and travel all over the world. A terminus is where everyone gets off and it all comes to a grinding halt. Are we a terminus or a terminal for the gospel? And that really challenges my heart today. And so I really wanted to really think about, and I was thinking about a series for receive, practice and share. So I wanted three words this year. If you forget everything, and I often say this, if you forget my name, if I could remember receive, practice and share, and if we could foster, excuse the pun, okay, an attitude where you love me enough and I kind of get along with you as well, so you can say to me, Keith, how are you receiving? How are you receiving, Keith? How's that going, really? Without me thinking you're trying to have a go at me. You know that sort of conversation? It's about getting so close. It's built on relationship. These sort of questions are built on relationship. Pouring in a loving relationship. So we can sit alongside and say, hey, you know, how are you receiving the gospel? How are you receiving the truth of God's word? What does that look like for you? Are you thirsty? Are you dry? Is it once us on a Sunday, and some Sundays you don't even do that? How does that look for you? How can I help you? How are you then practicing? What does that look like for you in practice? It might not be in the church program, by the way. Let's not get confused about where we can practice. It's everywhere we are, we can demonstrate what we've received. And then how are we then apprenticing other people into that? This is how I struggle. Aren't you encouraged by other people's struggles? I am. Well, it's good, isn't it? It's awful, isn't it? We like to try and portray that, you know, everything's amazing. Let's all worship and say it's great. I think social media has a lot to answer for. People put the best face forward nearly all the time. Can be the other extreme as well. How about being real and saying, it wouldn't be great to say, do you know what? I'm struggling to receive at the moment. I don't know where to start. Isn't that wonderful? What a beautiful thing to say to somebody. I'd love to do, and that's what I, over the next 12 months. So I was thinking of a topical series. Maybe I could do 4 or 5 messages on receive, 4 or 5 on practice, 4 or 5 on share. And then what would happen is, it would challenge us. And then the Lord in 5 minutes flat, pretty much, said, right, 2 Timothy. I felt the Lord in 2 Timothy. And within 5 minutes, genuinely, I'd carved the whole thing up and I had 13 headers. I'm just saying that. It's not about me. And this is what we're going to, hopefully, God willing, between now and April, going to be looking at carving this up to encourage one another to be a people who receive, practice, and share as we go along that. And you see, I was thinking at first, why 2 Timothy? But you see, 2 Timothy are the last recorded words from Paul to Timothy, his dear son in the Lord. And it makes you wonder, someone like the Apostle Paul, written 13 of the 27 New Testament books. I mean, this guy was prolific, great theologian. What's Paul going to write to Timothy? This is it. Paul is in prison. I'll go into more background when we start week one, in a sense, next week. This is an overview today. Paul is in prison, maybe about AD 64, and he's not going to get out. He is going to be beheaded as a Roman citizen. That's how they did it with Romans. He's going to be beheaded soon. And he's got to think, right, dear Timothy, what do I need to pass on? I wonder what you'd pass on to people you know and love in your last conversation. Just keep trying. If at first you don't succeed, or would it be, look to Jesus. Keep fixing your eyes. I remember when our girls were small, I've got the privilege of both of them being here today. I didn't wait until it was my last conversation. When they were about 3 and 6, they sat on the step, I remember, in Blakemere Crescent, and saying, whatever you achieve, you're very different, and they are. Praise, you know, wonderfully. Whatever you achieve, the most important thing is to love Jesus. To love and know Jesus. I want that to be my first conversation, not my last. And my second, and my third, and my fourth. Don't wait till we pass it on. And I just wonder, I wonder what Paul would pass on in his final conversation. He's written some great things. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power unto salvation. What a brilliant thing. What about that 1 Corinthians 13 passage that loads of weddings steal? Love is patient. It's just so beautiful that everybody likes it. You know, love is patient, love is kind. Some wonderful words there Paul could maybe use. And what would Paul use to sign off with? Because I think if we sit at the feet of Paul with Timothy, as it were, metaphorically, in that sense, I want to hear from Paul. What is it, Paul, that really matters to now? Because there's this baton that I mentioned coming over from Paul right through to Timothy. There's 4 chapters. You can listen to it online or read it in 15 minutes, less. Please do. Get it in your soul. And Paul passes this baton to Timothy and says, it's now up to you. You know, as Christ followers, I don't know if you feel you're on a bit of a bad run at the moment and things aren't working out for you. Do you know, we have the privilege of 2 great things. If you're a Christ follower today, and if you're not, keep listening. This will be for you. But we have the privilege of 2 things. You see, God in his covenant and initiative, can I say that? It's his idea. It's his promise. God in his covenant initiative has called us. If you're a Christ follower today, at any time said, Lord Jesus, thank you for the cross. I come to you. I want to follow you. God in his covenant initiative has called us to be part of his people through the cross. Do you know that God is calling you through the cross of Christ to be part of his people? He always calls people with his initiative. God's always done it that way, right at the very beginning of the Bible. If anyone ever tells you different about something, whether it's salvation, the judgment of God, the character of God, look at the whole of the Bible and say, how does God normally work? That's how he does it. He's unchanging. Don't just steal a verse off your fridge magnet. And we have the privilege that God has called us as well. Just as he called Adam and Eve and Abraham and all the covenant initiatives through the Bible. This is how I'm going to enter into relationship with you, Abraham. And these are going to be the rules. Don't mishear that awful word, rules. But this is just how it's going to work, Abraham. I'm going to call you. It's my initiative. Without God's initiative, we're not in the initiative. It's totally by grace. Totally by grace. And then what he does, it's almost like the 2 hands are side by side. If that one is the covenant hand of God saying, I've called you to be part of my, through this promise, Abraham, through this David, actually now through the new covenant Jesus to us, the newly constituted people of God, the new holy possession, holy priest. In this hand, he then calls his people, so I've called you in my covenant initiative to be part of my 18. My people. But now I call you, and they're linked very solidly. I now call you to demonstrate your allegiance. There is no covenant of salvation or guaranteed covenant of salvation if we don't demonstrate this allegiance. Our allegiance does not claim our salvation. Don't mishear me at all. It is separate. But they come together. When we come to King Jesus and he says, I've called you into relationship. You are no longer your own, Paul says. You've been bought at a price. You are a bond servant. I have a new king. So telling my friends at school or university or wherever that I'm a Christian, my life demonstrates a Christ-following allegiance. And that's the bit that the Spirit works on for the rest of our life. Because this bit is instant. It's the miracle of a moment. God calls you into covenant. And the miracle of a lifetime is God saying, I want you to demonstrate increasingly your allegiance to a new ruler. And that's wonderful. I need to cooperate with my new ruler, my new king, who's got my heart. And so we are called out to live out and demonstrate our new citizenship. Ephesians 2:19, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people. We're citizens of the kingdom of God. A kingdom has a monarch in that sense. We have a new king whom we demonstrate our allegiance to. And so it's a great question as we go through our 2 Timothy series over the next few weeks. Our desire is that we will be such a people who demonstrate such allegiance that there'll be multiplication. We'll be a people who receive, practice, and share. Because what we need to do, if I've given my life to Jesus Christ here, and maybe you're floundering, you've been going to different churches, or you're wondering what it's about, you can't quite get into the Bible yet, you're not sure, you know you want to love Jesus, you've even maybe said some sort of prayer about Lord Jesus in this hand. Maybe we need to ask the question with Peter, as I asked the other week. So then, what kind of people ought we to be? This hand. What does being a follower of Christ, being allegiant to a new ruler, look like in my everyday outside of the gathering? And that's really, really important. So my prayer is that that's how we're going to journey. We'll all be encouraged to receive, practice, and share. How does that sound? You all look a bit stunned. You see, does anyone here really want to follow Christ better? I want to fall more and more and more in love with Jesus. I want to fall embarrassingly in love with Jesus. Outrageously in love with Jesus. I do. Because I think it's incredibly infectious. Because my words are 7% apparently of what I communicate. And the rest is what I do and who I am. And people might deny my words in all sorts of apologetics, and that's not saying sorry, it's like debate in theology, whatever. But people might disagree with my words, but my life oozes Christ. If it does, I want to increasingly ooze Jesus. So my prayer for all of us is that that's how it will work. It's really interesting. I've bored most of you to death, really, over the last 9 years with some of my military stories. As an ex-military, but never mind, you still love them, at least, do you? And he's such a loyal servant, it's unbelievable. I remember the first time we had shore leave. We had to go in uniform for the ages, the first few weeks. And then we were really excited because we hadn't been out for ages, at least about 5 weeks, since they tried to kind of kill us on the training ground and everything else. So we were really excited. Anyway, the Master-at-arms in charge stood us at the main gate in Plymouth. Really dour face. And he just was constantly yelling at us, telling us what we could and couldn't do in all sorts of colourful words. Correct. And I just remember what he said, because we were just trying to focus. He got our attention. And he says, remember, even though you're not in this establishment anymore, You represent the Queen. You represent the badge. The badge on your hat, on your uniform, it represents something greater than you. Remember who your allegiance is to when you're outside of this place. Half of them didn't. I was a quite good boy. First time, anyway. But you see, as those who've been called and set aside to represent our new ruler, our king, we are no longer our own. Every minute of the day, I need to remember, because I can do quite well in here, if I'm honest, for a couple of hours. I can look fairly on it. But when I'm out there, I've got to remember that I'm no longer my own. I have a badge on my heart, bought by the blood of Christ, that says you've been bought at the price, Keith. You can no longer say no. And those of you thinking about baptism are losing your right to say no to King Jesus. Think about it before you get wet. Really so important. You notice in the news sheet we have a date for a baptism. Our first baptismal service in here, February the 11th, 4 p.m, God willing. And so, I just pray that we can become a people who receive, practice and share. A series that would, rather than me telling you, because I don't know about you, but we don't like to be told. Really, we get, not really. How about we develop an environment where we can honestly, as I said a few minutes ago, we could lovingly ask one another, how are you receiving? How is it going? How is the buy? Are you struggling? Is it okay? Could you help me? I'm struggling. What does that look like for you in the everyday when you read those? What does that transformation look like for you? What battles have you had in your life? You know, whatever it is, in work, in your language or internet use or other practical things, has there been things? They're wonderful, really gritty conversations about what your allegiance, my allegiance looks like. And is there anyone in your life that you're kind of apprenticing along? Doesn't matter whether you're in a ministry that's visible or whether it's about your Christ following is what I'm really talking about. It's so good to do that. And I'd love to encourage each of us to ask those questions, just to get to a place where we feel comfortable in asking each one another. And so, what I pray today will do is just a general overview. And so, thank you for your patience. Do come along again or listen online. But it's my prayer out of today is that we'll read 2 Timothy, we'll get to know it, and get into the mindset of asking those 3 questions. How am I receiving, practicing, sharing? I pray today whets our appetites to ask the Lord to speak to us. Because being a disciple-making people, people who make close followers of Jesus, who make close followers of Jesus, is a DNA thing. And because it's a cultural transformation thing, it will take time. And every one of us will be on a different journey and will take time. And so it's not about being impatient, it's about being loving. But being able to ask those questions, just so we can just encourage one another to move along in that way. And what we'll do next week, it's really interesting. I love next week, first 5 verses of chapter 1. It's called A Legacy of Receiving. You know, Timothy is so blessed to have godly mum and a grandmother who saw the importance. This is what next week Paul says to Timothy. He says, Timothy, you've been in an environment of receiving. It's been great. I'm reminded, verse 5 of chapter 1, of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I'm convinced also lives in you. You see, there was a legacy of receiving. Now, you might spot the obvious omission in that, is that he doesn't mention Timothy's dad. You know, we live in a world where I became the first Christian in my house at 16. I had a legacy of love. I had a legacy of lots of great things, but not of faith. The thing. The most important thing. And I saw both my parents before they passed away too early come to Christ. I'm now my sister. It's good, isn't it? Good. And Paul doesn't mention his Timothy's dad. But Paul assumes the role of Timothy's spiritual father. In verse 2 of chapter 1, Timothy, my dear son. And can I just challenge you, maybe not necessarily older guys in age, but that might be true. Older guys who've been following Jesus for a while, who might be doing this and passionate about Christ. We need to be spiritual fathers to younger men. Women, we need to be spiritual mums and grandmas. Don't we? We really need that. Look around. Even in this room, there are people, perhaps, who don't have that. You know, this is very close to my heart. You know, adoption is a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. It often happens when the birth parents cannot provide what the child needs. Did you know? You knew that, didn't you? Adoption happens when the birth parents cannot provide what the children needs. It needs others. So what does it need? Adoption will work. It needs others to, with compassion, to be willing to take on that role, to love and care for the child where there was a gap in that provision. Spiritual adoption is needed in our church. We have a number of folk. I received an email the other week and a text saying, I would love someone to spiritually adopt me. I haven't got anyone yet. Anybody? All you busy people will volunteer. I don't want the busy people to volunteer. I want us all to do it. Oh, they do that. That's what they do. They do the disciple making. They do that. No, we do it. We do it. We don't do it, but I pray we do it. Because that's what we do it. That's what we do. I would love these beautiful people to have a spiritual father or mother in this congregation. Got friends in other churches down the road. Could ring them. Embarrassing. Have you got anybody? I'm not playing on it. We need. I have a spiritual father. I have someone who looks after me. There's probably one or two in that role, really. I love them dearly. You might not even know they're doing it. I need it. I think you might need it. Not that I'm anyone special. I need it. If we're going to be a people who receive, practice and share, I pray we can encourage each other to do that. I'm conscious of the time, but I just want to give you a bit of a taste of what's coming. That's next week. That sounds great, doesn't it? I pray it does. Do you know it does? We're going to be looking at challenge to be. I'll miss some things out because we need to come back. Keep practicing. We'll be challenged in the back end of chapter 1 to keep practicing. Timothy is encouraged to fan into flame. Fan into flame, Timothy, the gift, that practice, that gift that was given to you. We all have gifts that we're called to use for the common good, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 12. Not so I shine on my own. We all live life. We all speak and interact. Opportunities present themselves to show Christ. That's what the next week we'll be looking at, what it means to follow King Jesus. We'll be looking then at challenge to faithfully share. Remember, it's receive, practice and share. And in chapter 1, 13 and 14, Paul says, you know, you need to share and practice with faith and love. He uses two words. He uses epistis and agape. One of them is the form of faith, belief, total allegiance, complete and utter, completely, no distraction. Pistis, that's the form of it in Greek. Agape, Paul always, nearly always, when he's talking about the love of everybody and the love we have for ministry and the gospel, he uses agape. The highest form of love. You are to go about this, Keith, in the highest form of faithfulness and love. You have got to give it your all. Timothy, if this is going to happen, if this baton's going to wear, I'm going to die soon. I'm being poured out like a drink offering. Timothy, you need the highest form of faith and love you're going to need. And it comes from God, because the fruit of the Spirit is, isn't it? You know it. Because if it's my love, I can stop loving you. My love is limited. His love isn't. It can be easy to forget our brief, why we do what we do. Doing church can be a lazy substitute for being passionately in love with Jesus and saying, I want to do this with the highest form of love. And yes, Paul uses military language, you know, like a good soldier. It reminds me of being stood at that gate with that guy barking at us. Thankfully, God doesn't bark at us. He lovingly says, come on, this is how we do this. And we'll move on later on in the series, in chapter 2, to a gospel focus. It's so easy to forget why we do what we do. Well, I've just always come to church. I've just always helped with the children's work. I've always served at the door. Always been on the leadership. I pray that's not always the case. But you know, that can happen. So it's important to know what we stand for and who we represent. And then we were looking at gospel, not gossip. Paul says to Timothy, you need to recognize the difference between a church which is gospel-minded and a church which is gossip-minded. And he tells Timothy the sort of things to expect in the opposite. He says, avoid quarreling, godless chatter, foolish, and he calls them stupid arguments. Things that can cloud what people really see, why I am here. Imagine going on an assault course in a team where you're timed, and they usually either have a stopwatch, and they put you against another team, and the losing team does it again. That's the sort of evil thing that they do. Now imagine the first team getting to the first hurdle saying, they could have used a better rope on that, couldn't they? There's some thicker ropes uptown. You know, to get over that wall, they could have had a better rope, really. And I think, look at the state of that wall. Look at the state of that wall. I think the bricklayer would have finished it off, wouldn't you? The other team are way ahead, gone over it, finished, you're doing it again. And some churches are like this, and they go around them, they never ever learn, and they just spend the whole time deconstructing the whole organization rather than being a gospel focus. We're going to challenge that. We're going to challenge that. I praise God for this place. We're a gospel church, but it has to be continuously intentional. Continuously. There are some great churches through history that are now shut. Shut. And it's a real tragedy. We're looking at forms of godliness. Paul says later on, having a form of godliness but denying its power. People who look the part, maybe even sound it, but they have their own agendas. That can be difficult. I don't think it's so easy to have a form of godliness in a church that is continuously asking, how are you receiving? How are you practicing? How are you sharing? It's really hard to continually dodge and weave. Really striking. I was talking to Mitch, and Mitch says, what worries him is that if we can practice and not receive. Imagine, you can get into a vein of practicing and practicing, and I've always done this, and my receiving is so light that I'm just wondering what I'm giving out. That's something that I need to challenge my heart on. I don't want to become a professional every time I pick the Bible up that it's about writing a message. I need to make sure the Spirit speaks to me. We're looking at authentic truth. I'm nearly through this morning. In chapter 3, the importance of a life built upon the Word of God lived out for Paul, for all to see. Paul could say to Timothy, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, Timothy, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, my persecution and sufferings. You know all. You've seen that, Timothy. And do you know what? It wasn't me. It was all about the Word of God living in me and changing me, because all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and training and rebuking and correcting, etc. so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We'll see in chapter 4 as we draw it to our series to a close in April, the importance of the long haul. We'll be looking at the cost of discipleship. Probably the biggest single factor and contributor to mediocrity in the Christian church today is the cost of following Jesus. It's okay as long as it suits me. And then that's it. I can just go and hide somewhere else. But if it starts getting a little bit personal, Keith, you know, I don't want to be in a sort of walk like that. When I said, Lord Jesus, I asked you into my life, I didn't realize I was coming into yours. I wanted you to make my life better. King Jesus, you mean you really want me to follow you into your kingdom plan? I find that so hard. I had the most beautiful conversation with Derek Simpson on Friday. He's had a life of two halves. Many of you in this room love and know Derek. I think he's our oldest, longest serving member. He's got to be in the running. And he said to me, the first half of my life, Keith, was absolutely amazing. He was driven. He passed his 11 plus. Many of you will know what that was. That was the best form of exam he could have at the time in his school. He wanted to play rugby for Coventry, He wanted to play rugby for England, He wanted to be an engineer. Became a top engineer at Rolls-Royce. He wanted to marry a beautiful lady. He married a beautiful lady called Pauline, who we miss every day. Second half of his life, he got a disease that debilitates him. He lost his dear wife, family, granddaughter, etc. ill, really poorly. And now he's really struggling. And we had this beautiful chat about where is God in all of these things. And he's going to come and he's going to share. You know, he's going to come and share. Might be in the commissioning service. It might be in the next couple of weeks or so. He's going to come and he's going to share. And we chatted about the most important thing being the gospel baton. And I said, Derek, when you used to sing around all the places and sing the gospel with Pauline and the quartet, Derek and Sue, I said, who's going to do it now? Derek, who's going to do it now? And he said, Keith, I pray there are people who are going to do it now. It was amazing. It was amazing. And we chatted and said, what out of all those things, on one hand was the first half of his life, and the other hand was the second half of his life. Out of all those things, which things put the most currency into your spiritual bank account? And he said, this one. That is the one where I've had to sort of grasp hold of Jesus. I've had to grasp hold of his heart and say, Lord, I still love you because, Lord, you are dealing with something way beyond this life. My material life is not what is my measure of my closeness to you. And I left his flat really happy. This was a gospel servant who'd prayed with an assistant a couple of days before who was caring for him. He came in to care for him and he prayed for her. We'll be looking at the cost of discipleship. Thanks for your patience this morning. Paul describes his life at the end of the book in a moving way. The last few words of the last few words, if you want to call it. What are you saying? He describes his life as one being poured out. Jesus would often say, can you drink this cup? That was a sign of death and sacrifice. Paul says, I'm now being poured out, Timothy. But you see, he can keep his eye on the big picture. Even though Derek's life is being poured out, as it were, in this part of his life, he keeps his eye on the big picture. And Paul keeps his eye on the big picture. And I know some of you are struggling with every day, even your very breath. I want to encourage you today that there is a greater thing we keep our eye on. Paul could have had a woe is me at the end, and he doesn't. And he says, Timothy, I'm being poured out, but you know, I have fought the good fight in chapter 4. Beautiful. I've finished the race, Timothy. I want to finish, don't you? Well, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me Timothy, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, he's the only one I have to please in this world. He's the only affirmation I need in this world, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And the good news, Timothy, not only to me, not only to me, Timothy, to all who have longed for his appearing, Maranatha, hallelujah. You long for the Lord Jesus to come. And we'll wrap the whole thing up. Because when we hear a message like this, normally there's a choice. It's not a today choice. It's an ongoing life choice. Simply, the title is Those Who Do and Those Who Don't. And that's the bland title but challenging title of our last week. See, for some, and I see this and I understand this, I've had been to a place where I've thought, Lord, can I keep doing this? Has anyone else? Anyone else been there? Just me? I don't think so. See, for some, the demands are far too high. This wasn't in the brochure when we went forward at that meeting all those years ago. And when we bowed our head with that booklet. I met Victor Jack the other week. Some of you might know he wrote Believe and Be Baptized. Brilliant. What a brilliant bloke he is. Godly man. He wrote that in a tent on a youth campaign because there wasn't much to give the youth for being baptized. He wrote it in a tent and it was become absolutely insane. In 80 countries, Believe and Be Baptized. Beautiful, he's a wonderful man. Humble servant. You see, but it can become hard. I thought Christ was simply there for my benefit. This is too difficult. Just as Jesus said, some might receive the word with initial joy, but when persecution comes because of the word, because of doing it properly for Christ, they fall away. Or others become choked with the worries of this life, Jesus said in Matthew 13. And Paul too finishes with those who do and those who don't. 4:10, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. But in 4:11, Luke is with me. Luke is with me. At my defense, everyone deserted me, he says to Timothy. But you know what? Paul wasn't standing simply because of Luke. Luke was really welcome. Timothy would be welcome with a cloak in the cold cell. But Paul could stand because he could stand because the one who stood at the right hand of the Father stood and ever lives to plead for him, like he is to you right now. Are you encouraged that Christ Jesus can see you, knows your situation, and is praying right now for you? Does that encourage you? He knows the troubles. He knows the heartache. He knows the family situation. And the Lord Jesus has got it covered. So Paul could say as we sign off, as he sign off and we'll sign off today, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all of those I was called to minister to, the Gentiles, might hear it. And Paul says this, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. Which, what I love about this, just listen to this last thing Paul says here. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Isn't that beautiful? If you're in a bit of a dark place today, if you're feeling that everything is against you, the Lord is stood with you. He is near. He is the one who will see you through. Cling on with all your heart, your soul and mind. Because the same God that brought Paul through is going to bring you through to his heavenly kingdom, which is far better. And that's why every day I want to show allegiance to the King. And I do it badly many days. But I want to. Want to. Do you? I pray we can help each other receive, practice, and share And I don't know about you. That's the sort of finish I want. That is the sort of finish. I don't want to go out with a whimper. I want to finish saying, do you know what though? The Lord will bring me through to his heavenly kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? Through it all, we're going to sing a beautiful song. Through it all, my eyes are on you. And the reason I pause is that emotionally, I look round this congregation. And I can see. And I know. And if I can see and I can know with my frailty and humanness, can't the Lord Jesus? Isn't it that the Lord can come right now by his Spirit and stand at your side? Look around, sing, pray for people who need it. You can tell the Lord will lead you to those people. I'm convinced. You don't need a front row. If that's what you prefer, I'd love to pray for you and with you to do that. But I pray that through it all, my eyes will be on him, that I might be able to look and see the legacy of a life that received, practiced and shared, and see others with that baton running for Jesus, that I might receive that crown of righteousness. So I'm just saying, as a fellow servant, that's all I am, a bond slave of Jesus. Please join me with open hearts, open spirits, open wills, as we seek to encourage each other to be a people who receive, practice and share. God bless you. Please come for prayer if you feel so led.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.